Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, November 28th, 2025, 11:28:25, last Friday in the month of November, 13 minutes past the hour, and we have got a great group here with us this morning. And this hour, we will kick off the holiday season here at WGH Talk Radio by topping the WGH Christmas tree with our star. You're not going to want to miss that. And speaking of stars, we have two of them here in the studio with us this morning. Joining us now, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and he's been with us all morning this morning. So glad. Major League umpire, former Major League umpire, the legendary Larry Barnett, commemorating this month 50 years since the call in November of 1975 that caused all the hubbub at the World Series.
I have no recollection.
Don't remember any of that at all.
No, that's in effect. No. I'm glad you bring all this stuff up, though.
Well, I like to talk about it with you, Larry, every time we get together. Yeah, that's right. Mary Ellen, how was Thanksgiving?
It was great.
Good Thanksgiving.
It always is, yeah.
What? Potatoes, mashed potatoes.
Well, yeah, and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good time to get together with family.
Yes, they were all there. Yeah.
Now, as we head into the holiday season, what do you look forward to?
Well, I just love the holiday season and the music. I like to listen to the Christmas music.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry, do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Snow White, or no, Snow White, no, I guess I don't.
White Christmas.
White Christmas is one. I'm trying to think. Don't throw questions like that.
Take me out to the ball game?
Yeah, no. Mary Ellen's better suited to do that stuff. Hey, we're sitting here with a legend.
That's right.
We are sitting here with a legend. I'm honored to be in her presence.
Well, I think I'm with a legend, too. Well, my favorite Christmas song is "Oh Holy Night."
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That's a great one. Oh. "Silent Night." That's the one.
"Silent Night."
Yeah, there was somebody with a wonderful voice that I used to have a record of that. I can't remember who it was, but I just loved that song.
Mm-hmm. You know, the music is a big part of this time of year.
Yeah.
Music. Mm-hmm. Now, Bob, one thing we want to do, Larry is going to join our Upper Crust Society. Mary Ellen, you joined it a couple years ago. You signed mm-hmm. the pizza crust and have mm-hmm. a plaque. So, Bob, do you want to have Larry sign that right now so we can get that?
We can do that.
Now, this is an actual pizza crust. Now, Bob will take this pizza crust back to Columbus.
It's a heck.
I know. Bob stuck in the corner there. But Larry will sign this pizza crust. It will go down to Columbus, and then a plaque will be made, as has with everybody else. Mary Ellen's in there, Buckeye Guy's in there, former Mayor Jack Kellogg's in there, Brenda Donegan is in there, as a matter of fact.
Yes, she is.
The late George Kasotis, the late Mary Ann Michaels, whole bunch of people, and this year it's Larry Barnett and Bob Bender. There you go, Larry. There is the pizza crust, and Larry's going
to
sign that.
On the face of it.
There you go, right in the center. Larry's going to sign this for us here. It's a real pizza crust, isn't it, Mary Helen?
Yeah.
Right across here?
Yeah. Use all the room. You've got all the space.
Take all the space you want. Now, I bet Larry has never signed a pizza crust in his life. This is a first.
Yeah. I think it was the first for Mary Ellen as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, the pizza crust is being signed, and there we go.
Oh no!
I've done some strange.
Okay, you're okay. But now you have to hold it up.
I've done some strange things in
this. This might be the strangest thing I've ever done.
Radio station.
I've ate a lot of pizza.
There we go.
Honestly,
there we go.
That looks good.
Theoretically, it is edible.
That's it's right. Hard to write on that stuff.
It is hard. Now, Bob, sit back down here for a second. Bob, what is the process? Now, you take this crust back to Columbus, and what happens?
Well, several things will happen. The crust itself will be shellacked so that it'll be permanently available for viewing.
And
for those who want it. But we will prepare a plaque for presentation, which will be a picture of the cross and you and some other highlights or whatever.
And that will be December the 11th.
December the 11th.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
National Fruitcake
Day.
What
is the 11th?
The 11th is a Thursday.
Thursday. Thursday, yes.
Yeah.
December the
11th.
The Thursday.
Yep. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's the fruitcake toss.
Yeah, I've just learned that.
Yeah. So we hope Mary Ellen will be there. Mary Ellen was there last year.
I was.
Yeah.
I hope I'm there, too.
Yeah. You know, that's become just the event of the holiday season.
Now, where do they do that at?
We do that right out back here in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a nice event.
The WGH Fairgrounds out there.
And I'll tell you, last year we had two school superintendents in it. We had city council people. We had county commissioners. We had the auditor. We had a Buckeye guy from Columbus. Mary Ellen and Jack Kellogg were there.
The Buckeye guy that wears all that stuff.
Yeah, he was there. He was. Oh, yeah. He tossed a fruitcake. So it's a big night, and we do our presentations that night. So it's a good crowd to do it in front of, and we sing some Christmas songs, and it's a good show.
Well, that's neat. Okay, yeah. The 11th. I got to write that down before I leave.
Yep, we'll get that down for Larry before he leaves. And this year it'll be Larry Barnett and Bob Bender. Now, Mary Ellen, what your husband was a big fan of baseball. We found out recently, wasn't it you spent your honeymoon going to baseball games?
Yeah, three.
Three baseball games.
In Cleveland Indians at that time, yeah. And Satchel Paige, I was fascinated with Satchel Paige.
He legendary guy.
Yeah.
People love Satchel Paige.
Yeah.
Larry, he was alive into, I think, the 1980s. Did you ever come across Satchel Paige?
No, I never did, Ted. I just, I of course knew who he was, but I never crossed paths with him.
Who was the most legendary person you ever spoke with?
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams?
Yeah.
You know, he seemed like he could be a little bit of a gruff guy.
He was great. He hated his players. So when he was managing the Washington Senators, when I came up, he would come in our dressing room and set. And, you know, when he was a Marine Corps pilot, he was thin. Right? Ted was like this. His stomach would, you know, he hadn't seen his shoes in years. And he would sit in our dressing room and eat ice cream in little cups and talk about baseball and hitting. What upset him, he couldn't believe that you couldn't hit like he could. And God only made one Ted Williams.
Mm.
I remember I got in an argument with Nellie Fox, was his first base coach. And Ted just strolled out and he said, Nellie, you go over there, stand. Larry, you go back over there. And it was just like God had told us to do what to do, and we did what he told us to.
When the voice of Ted Williams came down, you did.
But he was a remarkable man. Mm. He just didn't like the players, and he didn't like the fans.
Well, wasn't there a story that he did not come out of the dugout to, you know, tip his cap?
No, he wouldn't do that.
And he took a lot of heat for that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was big with the fishing gear and stuff he sold, and I was surprised that people bought it. So.
Yeah. Mary Ellen, we were talking with Larry here about the 50th anniversary month of that World Series call that got him death threats and all kinds of bad things that went on. Is there something in your career that brought a lot of negativity? A decision maybe that you had made, possibly? I know. We'll pick up the bad memories here as we head into Thanksgiving.
I'm trying to remember something. I can't remember anything that did. No.
So nothing horrible.
No, but
that's good.
When he was talking about Ted Williams, I was thinking of Marge Schott and how she talked bad about all her players. I sat beside her at this ball game with Shotzi, and she didn't stop. And I thought, my gosh, these are her people.
Larry, did you have any run-ins with Marge Schott?
No, but I remember talking to Pete Rose. And he used to throw baseballs at Schott's.
At the dog.
Oh, yeah. And you would run. I remember Mrs. Bush in the World Series, Barbara, was there with the president. And she was underneath, and Marge always had a cigarette in her mouth smoking. And Mrs. Bush would try to get away from her, and she would grab her arm and pull her. I saw that on TV.
So Barbara Bush did not want to be near that.
Well, she talked rough.
We learned that. We learned that as time went on. Marge Schott did talk a little rough.
But,
and
you know, she was a very successful woman.
She was. She was.
Yeah.
You know, she owned a team.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
And then they got her out of there.
Then they got her out of there. Then she didn't own the team any longer, and that was the way that went down.
You got to give her credit. You know, she had the Ford dealership.
Yeah, she had a dealership that she managed.
You know, we just had Larry autograph the pizza crust, and Mary Ellen, you've autographed the pizza crust. What's the strangest thing you've ever autographed?
Oh, it's probably that.
That the pizza crust was it.
I'll second that motion.
I have autographed body parts.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, two. But the pizza crust is unusual.
Now, when you were asked to autograph a body part, what goes through your mind?
Well, it depended on what the body part was.
I bet it did.
I had to refuse a few.
There are just some areas you don't want to go into.
Right.
Just some things you don't want.
Yeah.
Now, we should mention Mary Ellen's signatures in the Guinness Book of World Records, signing more money than anybody in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Was it $1.1
trillion? Yeah, somewhere around there.
That's not bad.
Lord. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know, and Larry was talking about keeping his signature good.
Uh-huh.
Yours has kept up very well.
Well, pretty good. I don't sign, you know, I can't sign as well as I used to, but you can still tell it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tell the story about how the signature that ended up on the money was chosen.
Well, I was at the airport in Washington ready to come home, and my predecessor had gone to prison, and they had a felon's name on the money, and they did not like that. And so they brought the pen and paper out to the airport. It was the U.S. Air Terminal, and wanted me to sign it 20 times. And so the place was crowded, and I tried to sign, and I said, you know, this is important. I've got to do a good job on this. And I went over under the phones, and they were still bumping me. And I finally went back in a private room and signed it and marked number 12.
So yeah. Number 12 was on the money.
Yeah.
What was it about number 12 that stuck out?
Well, they were all good. My signature was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bet I would win the prize if they had a prize for signatures, because some of the others on the money was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because Larry just signed the pizza crust, and we're talking about Mary Ellen's signature. And what we end up topping our Christmas tree with, by the way, is a shellacked pizza crust star. Right, Bob?
Correct.
That says WGH on the top of it.
It does.
So, Bob, we'll put that on top of the tree here at the end of this particular hour. But we thought this year, because we have a lot of ornaments on the tree, and they're kind of special ornaments. We have the Laddie Boy dog collar ornament up there.
Oh, do you?
We do, and we have a microphone on the tree. Now, this year, we thought, and this might be a nice thing for years and years to come, Larry, would you autograph a baseball for us to put
sure.
on the tree? Here we go. This is gonna be great because this will be on the tree for years and years to come.
Where's the dog?
The dog right up there on the top, toward the top with the bone on it.
And there should be another one as well, kind of a
with the bone on it. I don't see here.
I think there's a.
Yeah.
It's there. We go right there. I think it says Laddie
the
on
ball?
It. There we go.
Perfect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, Mary Ellen, would you sign this baseball as well?
Sure.
And then it'll be a double signature up there.
Oh, okay.
And years from now, people will look at the baseball.
We sat and listened to her talk, and it's history. That's history. It's amazing.
Well, I think this whole show's history this morning.
No, but I'm just saying, this is the United States Treasurer. It signs our money, and how she first signed her name in Washington's National Airport at a USA counter. That's amazing.
Isn't that a good story?
That's a great story.
That is a great story. So now you know number 12 was on the money.
Yes.
Signed.
I used to, really, when I was working, I would tell people, this lady, I know her. She was on our school board.
That's right.
I forgot
about
that.
That's right.
Yeah,
I said, I know Mary Ellen. Yeah. That's all you do now. I said, she's from Marion, Ohio.
Ah, perfect. Now, this is a baseball. Yeah. Look at that.
Now, you're going to have to be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
People don't put a ladder up against your window there and break in and steal the...
That's right. That's a one-of-a-kind acetate tape there, to be sure.
Okay.
All right. People are coming in with baseballs. Larry, it's quite a morning here at WGA. What a show we're having here this morning. I'll tell you, but it is the season. It is the holiday season. These are the type of things that happen here at the holiday season.
Well, live radio, it's going to be spontaneous.
Well, that's right. We are spontaneous here at WGH. And there we go. I'll tell you, the baseballs are coming around here. So now, Larry, what do you remember about Mary Ellen on the school board?
Well, I mean, she started in Elgin. She started in Elgin, which was my school. And then I noticed that she became county treasurer. She was state treasurer. And I remember when Mary Ellen was state treasurer, my nephew, Mike Barnett, got out of college and had a degree in computers. And Mary Ellen gave him a job in the state office. And then when Honda came to America, Mike went down there and became, he was like number three in computers at Honda. And then unfortunately, at 40-some years old, he died of Alzheimer's.
Oh, gosh.
And he was a tremendous athlete. And all of a sudden, he just, it was the saddest thing. But Mary Ellen gave him a start. I've never forgotten that. She probably did remember that, but I did.
That's a great thing.
What was his name?
Mike Barnett.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I sure do remember
him. That was my
him.
Nephew.
Yeah.
So what years were you at Elgin, Larry?
I was only there 1 year.
1 year.
Yep. Well, I was in Prospect through my junior year, and we consolidated, and I went up there for my senior year. And so we really didn't know anyone except the Prospect kids.
There, I guess and you did it.
Oh, that's
and you sign it, sir?
Oh, well, I guess I could do that. When I see
Oh, you put Ted Williams on there. I have a question.
Put Ted Williams on
I don't think he's still alive.
No.
I'm going to have all the famous people. I'm very lucky.
I'm going to put Kurt Gowdy on here.
Oh, yeah.
Sign his name.
Bob's going to sign it, and Sean, and...
Well, good.
Yeah, this would be good. All right here.
You notice I always sign on the sweet spot.
You do. You got the good spot. Larry got the good parking on the ball there.
Thank you very much. I want to ask you, can I ask him a question?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Larry, have you ever, in all your career of umpiring, did you ever have a team that pitched a no-hitter and lost?
No.
Well, I did in Little League.
Oh, did you?
When I was 11 years old playing for National City Bank, there at the field where President Harding threw out the pitch, up to Lincoln Park. Yeah, that's where I pitched. But during the during Little League, they moved everything back or forward, you know, this and that. And back at the backstop, I threw a wild pitch, hit the dirt, several wild pitches that night, and we lost 4-3. And they said, how could that ever happen? Go ahead, Sean, please.
You know, I worked 4,100 and some major league games. I had one no-hitter in 1970. Vita Blue of the Oakland Athletics threw a no-hitter in Oakland. That's the only one I ever saw. We went down to Anaheim from there. I was at second base. Marty Springstead was behind the plate. And Bert Bylevin threw another one. That's the only two no-hitters I saw in 4,000 and some games.
Ah, isn't that something?
And they were both within a week.
Now, Larry, you had a call. You're out. What was your call like?
Well, you never put your thumb up.
No, you don't put your... That's what you're hitchhiking, right?
Where they tell you stick your thumb. You hold your hand like that.
You hold your hand. So what was your call like?
Well, my voice is...
Your voice is... Well, how did you develop it?
You're out.
I don't think they would leave Larry.
There we go.
There it was.
Why would you say you're out?
You're out and you're ugly too.
Oh man, well the Kurt Gowdy stays with us all these years later.
Poor guy, we're talking to you, Kurt.
wherever Kurt is these days. He's got a lot of play this morning.
Nice seeing you.
Hey, thank you
very much for this opportunity.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. There we go. I'll tell you, you know, this is only could happen at the holidays. We're having a good time here this morning.
Well, you know, we always have a good time.
We do because it's live and it's spontaneous.
Yes, I enjoy this so much with Scott. He's a lot of fun.
Well, we've had a lot of fun here this morning. Yeah. Now, thank you.
Bye, all.
Yeah.
Bye.
Now, Mary Ellen, did you ever run into Kurt Gowdy in your career?
I don't know. She ran into a lot of important.
She did run into
who,
a lot of.
Who is he?
He was a sports announcer.
Sports announcer for NBC.
No, I never ran into him.
Now you didn't run into Margaret Thatcher, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, and you know, I had my picture taken with a whole bunch of the Cleveland Indian players when they did that movie. And then the pictures, the guy that was taking the pictures was my driver. And he cut off our heads, so I didn't get the. I wanted those pictures, you know. And he cut the heads off. And he did a miserable job taking all those pictures, so that's I didn't get them.
Well, you know, Ohio people, John Glenn was a good friend of yours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Larry, did you ever run into John Glenn?
I sat at his desk in Washington. The DAV took me over there, and I met Senator Glenn. And he was a legend.
Yeah.
John Glenn was a legend, and he was one great, great, great man.
Yes, yes.
And, I got the opportunity. I have my picture taken with him. I have it in my office.
And John Glenn was so polite.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he wanted to know about you when you would meet him, which was a nice thing. Yeah. Here was this astronaut who was doing very well in politics, just a good guy.
Oh, he was a good man.
Good guy.
He's a good man.
Larry, who are the people in Ohio that stick out to you? John Glenn's certainly one of them.
Well, he's got to be, you know, tops of the hill.
He's way up there.
I try to stay away from politics. I vote.
Mm-hmm.
When it's time to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really cares whom I think about or want to do this or do that. It's none of anyone's business. Hey, I've got to say hello to Carol.
There you go. Who's out there listening.
He asked me to say hello to Carol, and I want to do that so I don't get in trouble with Carol.
So you don't want to be in trouble with Carol.
No, I don't really get involved in that. We've had a lot of great people in Ohio.
Governors. What governors have you met? We've got DeWine. We've got Celeste.
I met Dick Celeste. Good man. Celeste was at my home.
Yeah. Dick Celeste is one of the nicest people. Mary Ellen, you served under Dick Celeste here when you were treasurer of the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. He was a good man.
Very, very nice man. We have Kasich, who was in there.
I met him at the airport. flew from someplace into Columbus with him.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got in first class with me, but he did.
Governor Rhodes. Everybody remembers Governor Rhodes.
Yeah, he was something else.
He was a character.
But, you know, it's just, I don't know.
He gave good speeches.
Governor Rhodes.
Yeah, he did. Well, they, really and truly, they all did.
Yeah.
Celeste gave good speeches, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The spit would just fly. When he gave his speech.
It was coming off. They were just...
Yes. It was... We would watch for that.
Something to see there.
Don't
absolutely.
Sit next to the podium.
Yeah. Don't sit next when they're at the
speaker. I'm looking down, and you could really see. Yeah.
And again, we're having a good time here this morning. It is 36 minutes past the hour. We're going to top the tree and officially start the holiday season here in about 24 minutes, which is a lot of fun. And we've got the pizza crust signed. We've got the baseball signed, which will now be a fixture on the WGH tree by Larry Barnett and Mary Ellen Withrow. Well, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, since I have you both here today, when you look back at your career, what do you think allowed you to succeed so unbelievably well? What do you think it was, Mary Ellen?
Well, I've often wondered about that. You know, I swear I had God's help. I really do think that. And I don't know if anybody thinks other than me thinks that, but I can't help but think that because it was so unusual what I accomplished. I mean, from where I came from.
Once in a lifetime.
I came from nothing, you know. And... and everything worked out, so that's all I can say,
Larry, what do you think it was that allowed you to achieve what you achieved?
First of all, I think it was probably my mother and father. We didn't really have a lot of things. I remember a girl invited me to go to the prom when I was a junior, and I didn't have a suit or a sport coat. So my mother took me up to Penny's and brought me one of those Eisenhower jackets, you know, and a shirt and tie. And I was probably the only kid at that prom that didn't have on a suit or a sport coat. And it embarrassed me, but they did all they could, you know. And I know when I retired from baseball, I gave away probably 15 Art Shafter and Mark suits because I didn't need them anymore. And so I was very lucky, and I have to agree with Mary Ellen. Every day I ask God to help me, and I, you know, ask Him to forgive my sins. And I have a great, great deal of faith in that. And faith has been a big part of my life, and I've made a lot of mistakes. But every day I ask for Him to forgive me and to help me today. And I'll ask Him tomorrow to help me tomorrow. And I think about my mom and dad was a good
influence.
Good influence.
You know, Mary Ellen, your father certainly had a big impact on your life, I think.
Oh, yeah, but he died when I was 26, and I didn't get into politics until I was 39. But his influence on me... He treated everybody the same, and when he died, I said, I want to do that too. And so I did. I've always treated everybody the same. And he had a big influence. My mother was not, I would say she was not a political person, but she certainly was trying to help me, but... you know, she voted for the first time, and I've often wondered, I didn't get to ask her what that was like, and I wish I could have asked her about that.
Larry, if you hadn't ended up as an umpire, what would you have done?
When I was growing up, I wanted to be a highway patrolman.
Oh, really?
I really did. That's what I, honest to God, wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, I was sitting in study hall over at Elgin, ran across an ad to an umpire school in Daytona Beach, clipped that out, sent it in, started receiving literature from them. The rest is history.
Really? And that's something. And what year would that have been?
That would have been 1964.
64.
And I worked in a Midwest League Class A, 64, 65. 66, I went to the Class AA Texas League. The American League purchased my contract. 67, 68... I went back to the Texas League, and then 69 at 24, never having gone to AAA, I became a major league umpire. And I had that job for the next 31 years.
Mary Ellen, what would you have done had you not gotten into politics?
Well, you know, I worked at the Red Cross. I was safety programs director. I taught life-saving and health care, and I had this dummy I carried around and I taught people how to breathe into.
Was it Annie? Was it Annie?
Yes. And I had a lot of fun at Red Cross. We had a good time. I don't know. They wanted me to become a leader at the Red Cross. They talked to me about it, and I could have gone that direction.
You know, Mary Ellen, we were just at Ed Harding last week, and the community room there is named for you. Mm-hmm. You're a graduate of Harding High School. And the advice that, well, I think, first of all, when they come in that room, they see the plaque, they see your picture there, and they know that somebody who graduated from that school, which they are going to now, achieved something that was unbelievable from right here in Marion, Ohio. What advice would you give to that group? How to do that?
Well, live your life the best you can. You've asked me this question. Did you think you'd ever have a room named after you at Harding? That's absolutely no. I never thought I'd ever have anything named after me at Harding when I graduated. And, you know, I had a girlfriend that ended up being the valedictorian. You know, I think back on all of that, and I can't believe it happened.
You know, well, that's interesting, because the valedictorian doesn't have a room named after her, and here you do.
I know, and she really laid it on me about that, yeah.
Well, the joke's on her in the end. That's the way it goes. Larry, what advice would you give to a young kid coming up who says, I can't do this?
Follow your dreams, and don't ever let anyone tell you you can't do something. anything is possible.
You know, sometimes people unintentionally, I think, give dump cold water on people's dreams.
They do.
If you say, you know, what do you want to be? And they say that, I want to be an actor, I want to be a movie star, I want to be a president or whatever it is. A lot of people will say, well, you can't do that. Yeah. You know, you don't know anybody, blah, 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 blah. Well, here are two examples of people who did it. Mm-hmm. So it can be done.
I know our grandson, I talk about him all the time. We only have one. I ask him, I said, Carson, do you think you'd like to be an umpire? And he said, Papa, you know, I've thought about that, but I just have one question. If I go to the school and do well, can I go right to the major leagues? And I said, no, Carson, it doesn't work that way. He said, well, I don't think I want to do that. And I think he's finally decided that he wants to be a paramedic and a fireman in Columbus.
So he's landed
I'm
on
so
that.
Proud. First of all, he told me he wanted to be in the Marine Corps. And I said, Carson, those people are crazy. All they want to do is fight. And he said, well, I think I would like that. I said, you got to remember, people shoot back at you.
That's exactly
so
right.
So when he came up, I think he was going to go into firemen and paramedics. Mm. And I'd be so proud of him. I'd just be a good person. That's what I tell him. Be good to people.
Well, you know, Mary Ellen, you and I were just talking about this the other night, about your family and would they ever go into politics? Did they ever want to be? And you said, not really. Not really.
No, but, you know, yesterday I was talking to my great-grandson who is going to be a history teacher, and I was so thrilled about that, and it was something that I never thought anybody in the family would do. We've had a lot of teachers, but we never had a history teacher, and yeah, I'm thrilled about that.
I bet so. Mm-hmm. I bet so. That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's a very, very nice thing.
Yeah, and he went through my museum, and he was fascinated with everything, and he's a nice kid. Yeah.
Well, that's you know, and that's an interesting thing as well. Larry, how much does your grandson know about your career as an umpire?
Well, I remember when he was a little guy, he wanted to dress up as being in a wax museum. Mm. And the teacher says, well, now, Carson, he has to have done something on national TV or the radio or newspaper. Carson said, well, just Google him. And he got to play me. Mm-hmm. So that was, he knows a lot because I can get on the computer and he can find everything. There's page after page of my career on baseball.
Does he ever come to you and talk about it, ask you questions about it?
No.
Uh-uh.
No, he really hasn't.
But that's interesting.
Yeah. We, right now he's in the process of trying to get a new car or truck for graduation.
So that's what he's working for. They're negotiating that one out.
But I remember when I retired, I was 54, and I came home, and they came to me and asked me if I'd like to run for county commissioner.
Oh, look at this.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a fantastic idea. And I went home, and I told Sharon, and she said, no, you're not. And I said, well, I think I would do a good job. She says, there's no doubt. You'd work every day, and you'd try to help people. But I can see you at a meeting when you didn't like what someone said and you used your baseball language, your children wouldn't be very proud of you. I called them back the next day and I said, I'm out.
You're out.
I'm ugly too.
but the offer did come.
Yeah. They asked me, and I don't know anything about it, but I thought, boy, that'll be a lot of fun. You're 54 and you don't have anything to do.
I think they could have used you.
I went down to the park and became a part of that park. And I have a field named after me, and that's an honor. Carson takes, he brings his buddies up, and he said, that's my papa's field. And Buck Rogers has got one, Jerry Lane has one, Brian Agler's basketball court. And we don't have one for Randy Moblin. We need one more field.
One more field.
So.
Well, maybe with that levee passed.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see.
We'll see what happens.
I just, once again, the people down there were just tremendous in voting for that. It's a beautiful park. I think it's the greatest park in the world. Of course, I'm prejudiced when I say that. But we get a lot of people through that park, and the kids enjoy the playground, the baseball fields, and.
Do you still mow the park down there?
No, we have two guys at work. I don't do this, but I don't even mow my own lawn anymore. So I have a guy that does that, but I'm over there a lot. Mm. And it's just, it's a great place.
Mary Ellen, what kind of politician do you think Larry would have made?
You know, I think he'd have been great, and I'm interested that he was interested in being a commissioner, that they asked him. Yeah.
That would have been interesting, Larry.
Well, I was interested until my wife wasn't.
Until she wasn't, then that was the end of it.
You see who the boss of the family is.
Well, I'll tell you, and you, it's hard to do something like that unless you're partners in favor.
Oh, I know.
I've seen a lot of unhappiness with people running for office by their partners. They don't like it, and mm-hmm. it's usually not successful.
No.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
You've got to have the cooperation there, because there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that.
Yeah.
And how do you get past the criticism, you know, Mary Ellen, because I'm sure people didn't like all the decisions you made. How do you look past that?
You just motor on.
Yeah, you can't stop.
Well, you know, you do. You analyze everything, but and when they say something incorrect, you correct it right away. I've always said that you have to correct the news articles that are incorrect immediately, and what people come up with, I mean, correct them. Yeah.
You know, Larry, when things were being written about you, when somebody in Prospect would come up to you and ask you about it, did you talk to them about it?
Yeah, I think that really they were very polite about it. They were very defensive about it. They were very protective of me. And, you know, like I always said, behind every successful man is a woman that can't believe her eyes. So, I mean, I've been blessed. I have great parents. I have a great wife. I have two great daughters, a great grandson, and my son-in-laws are a little shaky. No, no, but the good Lord's just smiled on me so many times. I just wonder when he's going to lower the boom on me. And but I don't worry about that.
I think you got ways to go here. We got about 10 minutes left in this historic broadcast this morning. Well, Bob, with 10 minutes left to go, do you want to top the tree?
We can do that now.
All right.
Before,
do you have some? Okay, go ahead.
Top the tree, you gotta finish decorating it.
Oh, you have a new ornament to add this year.
Yes.
What is the new ornament, Bob?
I'll let you describe
All right. Well, now this is, this is the name of now with Scott Spears, and it's a dog bone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
How cute.
Well, he always has a bone to pick with somebody.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, just put my name right up there on the tree. Look at that. WGH Talk 2025. Well, thank you, Bob. That's very, very nice.
And it came with its own hook.
It did come with its own hook, a paperclip. Yeah. That's very good. Hey, you improvise with what you have.
We didn't spare any cost.
No, we certainly did not. No. First, we spent it all on the heat today, Larry. That's where we spent our money.
It's not an ordinary paperclip. It is a
Christmas-themed paperclip. Absolutely.
Makes it official.
It does make it official. Now, Bob, I want you to get... Now, we've had this crust, this crust star for, what, 4 years now?
Maybe 3 years.
3 years? Okay. Let's take a look at this thing. Now, Larry and Mary Ellen, this star we have on the top of our tree is an actual pizza crust.
Okay.
It's been shellacked.
Okay.
And we put it up there every year. And that officially starts the holiday season for us here. Now, let's see this. I think we have it over here in a pizza box. Bob has found the star for the top of the tree. Oh, this is going to be a moment. Everybody at home, brace yourself, because we are going to put
roll.
We're going to have a drum roll here. This is going to be big. Let's see the star in all its glory, as it is each and every year. Oh, there it is. That it?
Oh, it looks good.
Yeah, the WGH Pizza
crack.
Star.
Did the crack just happen?
No.
The crack happened on its way to the top of the tree. I didn't crack it.
Okay.
And I
didn't want to say anything.
No. It wasn't me.
I see some litter in here from...
from past Christmases.
From past
All
Christmases.
Right. Well, everybody at home, Bob now is moving toward the tree. We're about to top the tree.
And when necessary, we have a... Laddie dog-like.
Dog collar to keep it in place. That's right. We don't want it to fall down and burst into 1,000 pieces.
Or hit somebody on the head and injury loss.
The temporary tree topper, the elf hat, has come off the top of the tree. Bob is now near the tree here. He's putting the star on the top of the tree. He may knock the tree over. We don't know. He's putting the star on the top of the tree. The pizza crust star. Everybody at home just... Get ready. The season has almost started. The star comes up and maybe the tree goes down. I'm not really sure at this point. Things are shaking around here at WGH Talk.
The star is heavy.
It's a heavy star, yes. It's pizza crust. We're trying to get it done here. Oh, no. If we don't get this star on the tree, the season might not come, Larry. We might not get into the season.
You know, I've done a lot of things in my life, and I've never been to anything like that. Have you, Mary Ellen?
He comes up with
this lady's. This lady's been in the Oval Office, and you're putting something on top of the tree.
Yeah. It's once in a lifetime, Larry.
Yeah, I would have to say that.
It's never been done before.
I've never done this before.
Never been done before, never will be done again here.
Well, you know, I was the groundhog this year.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, and I said that was the height of my career. Yeah.
All kinds of stuff happens here of the unique nature. Why, I think the star is almost up there. I'm glad we started this early because this has been a process here today.
Probably should have started at 9.
We probably should have started it at 9 and we might have it up there by 11. Bob, are you having trouble with the star this year?
The weight is working against me here.
He needs something stiffer than what he's got.
You know, all the years, I don't remember this kind of trouble.
Oh, really?
Are you having
I think we ought to make a new star for next year.
Might have to get a new star. Are you having anxiety there today, Bob? You have some anxiety? Pre-topping anxiety?
I'm afraid it's going to fall off when he lets go.
I'm getting ready to duck. How's your insurance?
The insurance is pretty good around here. We're good. We're good.
My law firm is Dewey, Cheatham, and Howell.
Dewey, Cheatham, and what?
And Howell.
Well, the star's almost up there.
The great thing about this is being set here with a lady like this that's done so much. And it's an honor.
It's a lot of years, well, a lot of success.
I'm pretty honored too, you know.
Well, I mean, you've taught me though. I've never been in the Oval Office, but and that's an honor. I don't care. Like I was talking to me, no matter who the president is, we beat them. I remember at the World Series. One of the old umpires I was working against, President Bush came in, and he kept calling them George. And I think that's awful. Mm. I've never met a president I didn't call him Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what that office demands. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't, that's one thing. He was a great umpire, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I that always struck me. He always, George. That's always bothered me.
Well, you know, I think respect for the office is important.
Yeah, oh, you got that. Yeah. And that's the highest office in the land.
And when somebody has a title, I mean, former governors, I still call them governor because they were.
Yep. Yeah.
They were. Yeah. And I think you should do that. Uh-huh. I think that's very important. And you know, you got an honorary doctorate, Larry. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
That was neat. I'll tell you who spoke at the thing was Jack Anderson. Remember him?
I do.
He spoke at the commencement up there. That was really a neat thing.
I bet.
Bowling Green gave me that for my work with veterans.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it was. It's just, and the next day on the Marion Star, it says, you can call him Dr. Larry Barnett.
Dr. Larry Barnett. There you go. It all pays out. And Mary Ellen, you have an honorary, two of them, I think.
I do have two.
Two honorary.
Was probably in something important.
No, mine was Heidelberg and Cincinnati.
Beautiful.
Yeah. What's it like to get an honorary doctorate, Mary Ellen?
I'll tell you, it's very nice.
It is.
I love them putting that thing on me.
Yeah.
All the award and all the pomp and circumstance that go, and I think that's the song they play at graduation, Pomp and Circumstance.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe the star is on top of the tree.
Oh, you made it.
It took 6 minutes, but we got it up there.
The dog collar was the key. Oh.
Well, there it is. It is a beautiful tree now, and the holiday season can now officially start.
Good.
It looks pretty good. But what was all the trouble, Bob?
Actually, I had it up there perfect. It was sitting there, and I realized I had the WGH turned to the wall. So I
had
to turn it around and start all over again.
That is trouble. That is trouble.
The double the time.
May I suggest that you just leave that on and leave it for next year?
You can suggest that, but I'm not the one who puts it away.
It does have to come down at some point. But
have you counted how many trees we got in this room?
No, I haven't.
We've got a few.
Yes.
Oh, God,
I mean, it's amazing.
I think we have five.
Five. You got one up there.
One up there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Three, four.
And there's one over there, I think, right beside Sean.
Five
trees.
And behind you saw Well, I don't know what happened.
Oh, we have the hat. That's right. We have six. We have six.
Looks like a tree.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, Larry, what's your wish for the holiday season this year?
That everyone has a healthy and fun-filled time.
Yeah.
And believe them and get involved with the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get close. Mary Ellen, your hope for the holiday season this year.
Yes, I hope they all enjoy this season and make the best of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice time of year. People are nice. People go out. They give to charity. They do their best. And it's really a wonderful month of the year to see people out doing that sort of thing. And it's nice to get in your car and see the Christmas lights that are out at night, and you hear carolers, and there's songs on the radio that you don't hear any other time of year. It's a great time of year. It's really, really great. Larry, I asked you earlier on about Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Is that your favorite song?
Oh, yeah. I heard that thing 4,300 and sometimes, and it's still not number one.
Really?
I hear it every day.
And you loved it.
I remember the first national anthem I did. I was so nervous. It was in Oakland, California. Mahalia Jackson sang the national anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I was at third base, and they really, people complain if you don't have your feet together and your hands down, no hat over your heart. And my legs were shaking so much I couldn't keep them together. I was scared to death.
Really? I bet so.
I was 24 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I bet so.
Most of those guys had underwear older than I was. So.
Mahalia Jackson was a great singer.
Yes.
She was tremendous.
Yes. And I can remember that like it was yesterday.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, favorite person you've ever heard do the national anthem?
And the black girl.
Beyonce?
Whitney Houston?
No, she's dead.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, I know. Oh, what is her name?
Well, okay, it's gone. I can't tell you. But you know who I mean.
I do know who you mean.
Yeah.
It'll come back.
They wouldn't let her sing at the the DAR, which I belong to the DAR, wouldn't let her sing at the Lincoln Memorial, wasn't it?
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad.
It was.
Larry?
The best I have ever heard. And you'll know him, Rocco Scotti.
Oh.
From Cleveland.
Oh,
and if you remember when Billy Martin was here? He came to the Palace Theater. Carl Hughes went up and got him, brought him down to the Palace Theater, and he sang the national anthem and blew the roof off that place.
Yeah.
Unbelievable voice.
Yeah.
This has been an unbelievable morning here. I tell you, we have had a great time here this morning. What a pleasure it is to kick off the holiday season with former Major League umpire, one of the legends, without doubt, Larry Barnett, now a member of the Upper Crust Society and the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and we'll all come back and convene on December the 11th, and the plaques will be ready to go. Larry, it's a pleasure to be with you, as always.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Mary Ellen, always good to be with you, of course.
Oh, yes, we always have a good time.
We have a good time, and we will be back with you. Stay tuned.
They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds.